Hello, Polytopians. Thanks for tuning into the Polytopian Times. I'm your host, Sam, and today I'm joined by eSpark. Howdy.
Hey, Sam. What are we going to talk about today? I'm so excited.
Today we got some fun news to talk about. So there's been some movement on the diplomacy beta, finally. We have some changes in the works amongst all the bugs, and I can't wait to see how this changes everything that's soon to come, and what this may or may not say about the time frame here. But I think, I believe, as you've mentioned yourself, we may want to temper our expectations a little.
Yeah, I was not expecting this. I was like, oh, update, cool, what's going on? And then, a lot of stuff going on that's new and exciting.
Yeah, quite a bit. Well, let's jump on into it.
What's the biggest change in this beta update?
Well, we do have some cloak balancing, which is good, but I think the big one was that they opted to switch back instead of going for the full switch with forges to mints and the buff to windmills. We've switched back to the old population way, so nothing's going to change. It's business as usual. Knights are still getting nerfs, they're still glass cannons, so there is a positive change to the meta there. Otherwise, keep farming population the way you always have, right?
Yeah, I think they still plan to make chopping one star, right?
Yes,
that's still the plan. And like you said, knights are nerfed. But I think the mints and windmill changes aren't so much not happening as they're just going to be postponed from what Zoithris, the community manager, says. They want to focus on diplomacy before they hammer out what are they going to do with windmills and mints. So that might happen, you know, later on, months later, but first they're focusing on nailing down diplomacy, right?
Yeah, they're gonna definitely take their time with that. It's not necessarily going to happen thing, but it'll come out in maybe a later update, maybe not in that incarnation still. And I'm assuming if they're going to push it out to a different update, there'll probably be more economic related stuff in that update, perhaps something for forestry to make it a slightly more valuable deck. Who knows?
Yeah. We'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah.
So the other thing that changed? Daggers and cloaks changed a little bit.
Yeah. So the daggers specifically aren't just spawning in a line outside your city on one side like they used to every time. Instead, they're prioritizing defense bonuses around your city. And they don't spawn just like a guaranteed number of three. It's in proportion to the size of the city. And I think this all spices up some dagger gameplay there. And cloaks. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say the daggers used to always spawn on the western side. So you always could predict it. But now it's going to be more like if you have climbing, they'll be on a mountain. Or if you have archery, it'll be maybe on a forest to put them in the defensive, and you'll get the number varies. So if you attack a really big city, you know, I don't know how the actual breakdown is, like what the ratio is of when you get two daggers or three or four. I don't know that formula, but it seems like the bigger the city, the more daggers you produce, right?
Yeah, no, that's the general thing now. It's really early, guys, so I do apologize. Again, we'll probably have some more concrete numbers in, you know, a couple of weeks or months here. But for now, just suffice it to say, bigger city means more bad people hiding in the forest.
Watch out, more bad people coming. And the other thing that's different, I think, is the cloak. Before, when the cloak attacked the city, it incited a riot and it disappeared. Poof! But now it actually sieges the city and sets it on fire.
Yes. Yeah. So I think, you have this extra play at maybe taking it over without losing your cloak necessarily, too. And, it adds an edge of surprise here. Now, I don't believe can move those daggers still when they spawn. So they're just there. Hopefully they're blocking access to that cloak, you know, zone of control. But that's out of your hands completely for a turn. And then I believe there was one last change to the cloak that was the cost of making one. So
yeah, it costs more now, which,
yes,
which is interesting thing. Because it makes it a late game type of unit. You know, you don't get them really early because you can't afford them, but they have more bang for your buck if you use them on a big city. I don't know. What do you think?
So I think there's that aspect of it, but I think interestingly enough, you can afford them earlier in the game, only necessarily if you build up your economy to back that up. And I think the easiest way this early on in the game is with diplomacy. If you go down the
Right.
diplomacy route, you embassy up with a bunch of people, all of a
Right.
sudden, yeah, that could be the one way all of a sudden you're like, I can throw a single cloak out, but it makes them sneakier, and you have to be more sparing with your use of them. So it's more the way knights are intended to be used, sort of like a scalpel versus machine gun.
Right. So if you get those embassies, I mean, you can get a big income from embassies if you have the peace treaties, and then yeah, you could afford the cloaks that much easier. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely some interesting changes though. We need to see how it actually plays out in some actual games. There's plenty of speculation to go around but that's fine. There's another big change, Polytopians. This one makes me kind of sad. I happen to love the Cymanti, but well, obviously people are going to be going for diplomacy more often. They're going to be going down strategy more often. So some attention was paid to the chitons, and they went from 20 health points to 15 health points, which,
Oh, chitin's getting a little nerf.
yes, and of all the Cymanta units to get nerfed, that one stings in
Yeah.
the weirdest way.
Yeah, I've heard chitins can be really powerful, like really strong tanks. Once you get enough of them, they're just kind of unstoppable, right?
So they're defender replacements. They have one attack, so you're not really going to attack with them ever. So, I mean, yes, they can form a living wall, but it's not really that difficult to kill them. All you need are, say, a couple of archers and a single sword, or even two catapults should be more than enough to weaken them down. They're more than breachable. Mindbenders can easily mindbend them en masse for you, and, I mean, they've always been counterable. The reason that having 20 health points made them a more viable unit in the Cymanti player's kit is simple. Without the fortify defense bonus, which they don't have, but defenders do have,
Oh.
there's no other Cymanti unit that has that besides warriors and swordsmen. So now
Swordsman, right.
you're always going to be pushed to use swordsmen, a standard tribe unit, instead of chitons, a special
Yeah.
unit. You're supposed to use your defender replacement for defense units. And in that pinch, yes, you didn't get the bonus, but you had 20 health points. You might survive a couple extra hits, especially if it was only just, a single defense bonus you get from being in a city or whatever. But
Like
unfortunately.
deciding between swordsmen and chitons. But what, why do you think they nerfed the chitons then?
Simple. They were on the road to diplomacy. They are part of strategy.
Oh, right.
That's it.
They're the replacement for defenders, shields.
Yes.
So they were on the, so naturally, if you're going for diplomacy, you'd end up with chitons, and they wanted to make them weaker because
Less.
that makes sense. Okay.
Yes. Now, unfortunately, it means you really don't have any reason to ever use chitons. If you have only 15 health points, a sword is always a better use of your money for
Sword,
only two extra
yeah.
stars. You get a better economy out of it, which you do not get with chitons. So, I mean, like, basically, it's become about as useful as spiritualism. There's a few niche cases, but,
That's a low blow. As useful as spiritualism. Ouch.
yes, at 15 health points, you can easily
Oh.
kill a chitin, and they're only going to get a defense bonus when out of the city, so you don't even want to produce them if you're under siege and you have the option to produce anything else at that point.
Yeah.
It's sad, but like, there's
Yeah.
nothing really to say. Of all the units to have nerfed, the chitin wasn't the one I would have nerfed. They're very slow. They can't move and attack at the same time, so they're not useful in an offensive sense really at all, especially when you compare it to just Fychi, which are
Yeah.
much faster. They attack from much further away, much sooner. So their only value was defensive, and that you could put up some walls and stuff, buy yourself some breathing room in the middle game, because you couldn't respond from a range without having Exceed as a late game unit, while other people can just use archers to rain fire down on you. Like, it's easier to get a navy that can also shoot at you
Yeah.
from a range.
Yeah.
So it
Oh,
hurts
well.
Cymanti players, but they're still not, you know, bottom of the tier.
No, they're still, they've got a lot of tools in their toolbox. Simanti will be okay. Yeah.
Yeah. But now, if there was a problem with Simanti being overly aggressive as a tribe beforehand, once you've taken away Chitons as an option and given them only swords, you've just forced their hand towards being the ultimate level of aggressive. Now all they need to do is boost every sword they make, and you're going to have a bit of trouble once some Exitas show up to support those swords.
You know what I'm really excited about in this beta update?
Hmm.
Can you guess? You guess.
Oh, Ah, geez. It... Oh, I don't know. Is it... Maybe it's that they gave you forges back because you didn't like the mitts.
No, I'm the tribe leader of Imo, for goodness sakes.
Hey, all right.
What's the one thing that Imo got better in this?
Ah, I gotta let you run this one.
Oh.
I mean, you are the tribe leader of Imo. It would be remiss of me to cover it.
Sam, mind benders are slightly more useful now.
I mean, that's a way of looking at it, but do continue.
Very slightly, but they are. So now mind benders can detect cloaks. But it's really hard to, at first I didn't figure out how it worked, but if you look on the little icon of the mind bender, if a cloak is adjacent, right in around the board, there's a little dot. A little spot that shows up on the Mindbender icon. So you have to like almost zoom in or use a microscope and be like, oh, look, there's a little dot. But that means there's a cloak. So honestly, I don't know if it's going to make it worthwhile to get Mindbenders, but I'm still excited.
I mean, it does make them slightly more valid. Now you can think of them as like this. I just park one near every one of my cities. I sacrifice for one single unit's worth of production, but like, it can heal if I ever get sieged. It can maybe convert a giant if he's hiding in the fog. And most importantly, it detects mind bender or cloaks. You know, that could be.
Yeah.
I can see that being played in like, but yeah, no, practically no.
Practically, I'll be honest with you. I still think mind benders are pretty useless. But I'm.
Yeah.
They're better than they were before.
This is true. Yep. Then honestly, I would say they have twice as many uses now.
Hey. The relationship meter. Oh, right. Because people before, I think, had a hard time knowing if they sent a peace treaty request.
Yeah.
If the opponent would accept it. Or at what point do you think that your the other player is going to accept your... If it's a bot. This really only works if it's a bot, right?
Right. No, you're not wrong. But yeah, it's still super useful for everybody in a single player game, or if you're in a multiplayer game and you're trying to cultivate those bots to be your allies against your enemies. You know, or if you just want those extra stars per turn from your embassy in a peace treaty. Either way around, it is very useful information to have. And funny enough, I believe you can still click on other players and like see random things about them by doing that still. So, I mean, it's great if you want to just roleplay within your Polytopia games. You know, if you're like, I am the, you know, supreme imperious Wuha or whatever, you know.
A lot of people like that aspect of the game, role-playing and being a character. Yeah, I think it's most useful, though, for single player when you're against bots. So you can anticipate, oh, I should try to send them a peace treaty. They're probably going to accept, right?
Yeah. Or, you know, I guess conversely, you can see whether or not they're poised to start invading you because
right.
They hate you guys.
Like, watch out. They really don't like you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, I believe that pretty much wraps up the.
There was one other thing. Well, there's two things. One is that destroy and burn forest switch places. But I heard from the community manager, Zoithris, that was probably a mistake and they didn't mean to do that.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, I guess it was an accident. So that's more of a bug. Anyways, we'll have to see, but I don't think we should count on that sticking around. Although I think it's really cool to me, turning a forest into a farm fits really well with the farming and windmill, like you're making farms. Like that makes sense. Anyways, but I heard it's a mistake.
Really? So I'm with you. And riding being this destructive route that I've heard, you know, it makes more sense that you destroy buildings with it though.
Anyway, so, but don't, it's very tentative. I don't know if that's going to stick.
Yeah.
And then the last thing is the tutorial feature. It's called Boot Camp. Have you tried it?
No, I haven't. But to be fair, I don't think I'll have much need of
Really? I think you really need to learn this game better, Sam, because do you even
Oh.
understand like how to upgrade your city? Come on.
I've done it like 3 times in our games. I mean, I know you keep beating me early, but my win-loss ratio against you isn't, I promise, a record for all time.
I've heard that I have not tried the tutorial. I've heard it's really, really basic and in some ways misleading. Apparently they want you to get to upgrade your city with animals, but the animals aren't even on a forest, so it's like weird. It's like not even a real game. And there's some glitches, like you can they call it soft lock the tutorial, so you can like find exploits in it and stuff. So I think it's supposed to be really basic and just really basic fundamentals, but it's not supposed to teach you like strategy or any kind of like how to actually like fight or defend. Yeah.
Yeah, that's still, it's a nice way to show people how like to click on things and stuff. You want to get your friends in, and you want to save yourself 5 minutes, send them off on that, and then you can teach them how to play once they understand how to use the UI.
So the one thing I find exciting about the tutorial isn't the tutorial itself, but it shows that you can set up scenarios in the game. So there is a potential to use this kind of boot camp feature and maybe make a campaign where you have a goal that, let's say it's a campaign mode and you have to, explore and find three new cities before Zabassi attacks you or whatever. I mean, lots of strategy games have campaign modes with a story.
Yeah.
And this boot camp proves that, like proof of concept, that you could do the devs could do that if they wanted to.
Yeah, and that'd be a great way for them to tell the story of the ancients and how we came to have the tribes of today.
So much potential for lore. You could do
Yes.
lore little stories for each of the tribes. And I think players, like casual players, would really love a campaign mode. So I don't know. I'm totally guessing, but it just shows that there's potential within the game that they could do that one day.
Absolutely. I think that'd be a cool way for things to develop. I think the only thing they'd have to maybe get in check before then is the difficulty of the AI. I mean, it's getting better. I will definitely say that. It's not quite there just yet.
Yeah, I mean, bots are still predictable. They still do weird things that you're like, why did you just leave your city open? But it's much the AI is much better in this beta than it used to be. I agree.
Yeah, it's definitely a step above the old chop.
The only other thing, that the number one question that we get asked in the server is, when is diplomacy going to come
Oh
to the main
yes.
game? Don't hold your breath.
Yeah, sorry guys. I would say we can say like conservatively, it'll definitely be here before autumn. I expect.
I hope so. There's
Mean,
still
that
a
gives us
lot
to
of
September
bugs.
21st.
There's still, a lot of bugs to get fixed. So I don't think it'll be before a month. So what are we in? It's almost April. So
Yeah.
I would say it's not going to happen in April. The earliest could be May, but it might be later in the summer. But there's still a lot of things to fix, and they're still adjusting things, clearly. They just changed the daggers and the cloaks, so we might see them get tweaked again.
Yeah, absolutely. There's plenty of room for changes, although there's a likelihood that they may hold off from major changes and focus on bug hunting at this point. My guess is with the retraction of the change to
Right.
population growth, they're likely going to hold off from any other big major changes. It's just a matter of making sure things work. And I mean, I know replays and live games, but especially replays, have got to be a big chunk of this. There's been plenty of problems with that. If you're on iOS, you're sitting here wondering why you can't see anyone else's replays, but Android
Where did
users can.
my replay go in iOS? Yeah. But I agree. I am encouraged by them taking a step back from the mints and windmills, that maybe they're going to be less ambitious, right? They'll try to just do it a little bit at a time so that the things that work well, like, that they can push them out and prioritize them and then work on the other things that need more time later. That's my hope.
Yeah, definitely the same page here. That's why I'm hoping that we're on the shorter end of the timeline for release of beta. The real problem is working through all the other bugs. I mean, one of the big problems is you're adding in so many new features. That's what's causing a lot of this. So even though the additional features are pretty simple and you're slimming down what you're going to be adding on top of that, just the core functionality that's being added in some of these places is just going to draw it out regardless. So hopefully soon, you can get on Steam if you are sick and tired of waiting, because people will be on there waiting for you there. But at the end of the day, there's nothing else we can do but wait.
Yeah, it is
And
very
I'm
exciting. I think there's, again, so much potential between the replays and the live games. Diplomacy is going to change. Team games, right? Like 2v2s are going to be so, free for alls are going to be so, I mean,
The knight meta's gone, which
yeah,
is the
it's really
hugest thing.
exciting.
It's gonna be nuts. There's even without those changes included, a lot happening, and that's gonna be, again, like you said, it's gonna be like genre defining in a way. Like you're gonna have, well, that might be a bit grandiose. that rolled out the tongue a little too easily, but instead they're definitely going to be big changes still. It's going to feel like a different game in a significant way. And I think just the shift from this grind of Zerg spam of knights to some more nuanced warfare, archer support in some regiments while swords rush out onto the field, and you have giants coming up to influence the battlefield in substantial ways till you get catapults up, and you have these moments where maybe you're weakening the line so a lone knight can persist through and do maximum damage.
Yeah.
More nuance to the battlefield is going to be a wonderful thing to see, I think, for everybody, and I'm
Yeah.
definitely excited for it.
Yeah, I think that's really going to be fun. Having more nuance, more options and paths to victory, not just a single meta. I agree. That's going to make the game more dynamic and more fun.
Yeah, hands down. The only sad thing is our diplomacy tier list is now, I mean, it was already hotly contested and controversial, but it is sadly out of date now.
The diplomacy tier list. That's okay.
Yes.
It's fun for us to rehash it, right? We enjoy going through it all over again.
100%, yeah. Well, and hopefully we'll take a crack at that at some time soon. Well, I believe that wraps up this week's episode. Yeah, we had plenty of fun content with this change. I'm definitely looking forward to how it's going to go, but I know we gotta wait and see, right?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It'll be good.
Yeah. And well, until next week, Polytopians, we'll see you.